In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was an article a number of years ago in a journal that I read, and the author, he said that people were prone to treat the church like a vending machine. I thought that was a really good illustration. You know, the church is basically where you go when you need to get a quick something, like a vending machine. So you put your money into the machine and you hit the first button, baptism, right? Here we go, got my baptism. Come back 12 years later, hit the next button, need a confirmation, get that one. Come back maybe 10, 20 years later, hit the button for a wedding. And then finally, I know somewhere down at the bottom of those buttons, eventually I'm going to hit that last one and I'm going to get a funeral. Thought that's a pretty good illustration. Now, maybe vending machines aren't maybe as common as they once were. They're still around. But I think another really good illustration you could use to say same kind of thing is that we treat the church like a drive-thru. Now, those are still everywhere. And drive-thrus, I think, are going to keep being everywhere. But that's kind of the way we're prone. I'm not saying you all do, but prone to treat Jesus like we treat our food. Basically, we want it fast, we want it cheap, and we don't want a lot of commitment to it. So, yeah, I'll take a number one, please, a baptism, but hold the church attendance, if you would, right? Yeah, I'll take a wedding, a number four, but if I could do it without all that Jesus stuff, that'd be great. Drive-through Christianity. I think it's a good way of describing it, because today, it's really easier than ever to have drive-through Christianity. You don't even have to go to church. You don't have to leave your home. Just watch church online. Lots of churches have their whole service online for you. You never even have to leave home. Get your sermons by email or whatever. Or you can go to a big mega church and with thousands of people, they'll never know if you were there or not there. Perfect. Now, out of these 10 lepers that begged Jesus that he would have mercy on them, 9 of them wanted a drive-through Jesus. That's exactly what they wanted. He healed all 10 of them of leprosy, as you know. But then 9 of them say, perfect, that was all we wanted from you. Thanks, Jesus, we'll see you later, right? Not anything more than that. Not coming back to praise him, worship him, nothing. That's it for them. Now, of course, you could say, well, they were excited, you know, give them a break. They wanted to get back to their lives. Leprosy, is, as you well know, is a horrible disease that separated you from all your friends and family. So, yeah, obviously, they're desperate to get back to their normal lives. But ask yourself this, is anything, and I mean, is anything more important or more urgent than Jesus? Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. They start running away. They look down, their skin, they realize they've been healed. All the leprosy has disappeared. And it's right there at that point that they should have said, what's more important than him? He just took our leprosy away. At that point, everything else should be able to wait, even getting back to your family and friends. Anything can wait to go back to this Jesus that just healed you and believe in him. Now, our leprosy, none of us in this room has leprosy, but we have a leprosy, and it's sin. And you know this. The Bible uses leprosy as a metaphor for sin all through it. So on us, it's not sores and blisters and rashes all over our skin, but it's in our hearts. And just like the lepers now, you and I have come here and we've said, Jesus, have mercy on us, okay? We have sin. We have this leprosy of sin. We need you to heal us. And we've asked him to baptize us, to wash our sins away. We've asked him to hear our confession of our sins and forgive us. We've asked him to take away death, give us eternal life. And Jesus has said, yes, I will do all of that. He's healed you completely. Every dirty, disgusting, contagious sin of all your past years up to yesterday, all of it is gone. Now then, what does he get from us? Thanks a lot, Jesus. See you later. Right? I've got more important things to tend to now, right? I'll come back through the drive-thru when I need something again later. But now, there's one leper out of those 10 that is there to show you and me, hey, guys, there's a better way than that. There's a better way than those other nine. There's one leper that gets it. And he says, you know what? I'm kind of excited to get back to my normal life, but there is nothing that's got to be more important than the guy that just healed me. And so there he is, turning around, running back to Jesus, falling on his face at Jesus' feet, thanking him for his mercy. And what he's saying to you and me is he's saying, hey, guys, there's no drive-through Jesus. This is a Jesus you want to be with all the time. This is a Jesus that you want to invite to your very dinner table, like we do all the time, right? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. This is a Jesus that you walk with every single step of every single day. So, what am I really telling you? What this one leper is showing you is faith, is true faith. Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. And that's what Jesus wants for every one of you here today. He doesn't want to be a drive-through Jesus for you. He wants you to believe in him, to have faith in him, and he wants you to go with him. So I think this will help. I'm going to just explain. I know it gets, well, you don't want to hear a bunch about Greek in a sermon normally, but I think this point will be pretty helpful. There's a bit of confusion at the end of the gospel reading. At the very end of the story, after the leper has given him thanks and so forth, Jesus says to him, rise and go your way. And in Greek, it's just two words. The one first word is rise, so just get up, because he's on his knees. So get up and then go your way. Well, the problem is, when we put that into English, and so it says rise and go, what our minds hear, and what I always hear when I hear it read in English, is I hear Jesus saying, rise and leave. Go back. Go, you know, maybe go with the other nine or whatever. Or go back home or do whatever you're going to do. But that's the way it comes out in English. Get up and go. But the problem is that's not the word, and that's not what Jesus meant at all. Jesus doesn't tell him to leave. All that word means in Greek is get up and move. Go somewhere, not leave, but go somewhere. So what if I just changed it to this in English? Instead of rise and go your way, Jesus says, rise and let's go. I mean, you see, now we got an entirely different thing. And that is much closer to what Jesus was saying. He was not telling him, all right, you got what you needed from me, now rise and get out of here. He's saying, rise and now go with me to a new life. Because that's what faith is. It is a new life. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And this is what faith does, okay? Faith never goes away from Jesus. Faith always goes with Jesus. So let me put it in context right here today. Right here today, you've come to church. You've asked Jesus for mercy, and he has given it to you. You confessed your sins to him as we did a little bit ago. He's healed you. In a little bit, you know, you'll come to his altar and receive Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. You'll kneel before him just like the Samaritan leper, giving him thanks for all that he's done. Now, when it gets to about 11:15 a.m. then, see, we don't say, oh, thanks, Jesus, this was really nice, I'll see you later. But he says, he'll say to us at 11:15, rise and let's go. That's what faith is. Okay, he's going to go with you. Your faith has made you well. Now let's go. Faith in Jesus is not Sunday morning. It's our entire life. It's our entire worldview. It's how we see and do and live everything in our lives. So it's not like, in other words, your real life is out there somewhere, and then you come here Sunday morning, you go through the drive-thru, get your Jesus, so on and so forth. But faith is every Sunday, every week, every day, every hour. Everything we do is done in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if that seems abstract, well, we've got these wonderful words from St. Paul today. He'll explain exactly what I mean and what he means and what God means. Okay? He says it in Galatians chapter 5. He says, walk with Jesus and you will have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you believe in Jesus and you walk away with him, Those are the things that you walk away with. All the fruits of the Spirit. Rise and go your way, Jesus will say to you. Go with me with love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. So Paul, he uses this term, you know, I've been using this idea of a drive-thru. Well, Paul, his term is walk. He uses it all through his letters. Walk with Jesus. And that's the perfect word. Every step, everywhere you're going, every place you are, every place you walk with Jesus. So he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, what are those? He says, things like sexual immorality, idolatry, jealousy, fits of anger, divisions, drunkenness. And so this is what happens, if I can put it back into my illustration. If you treat Jesus like a drive-thru, right? We come and we get our fix from whatever and we go on our way. Then what's going to be waiting for you when you leave him, when you drive away from him, is the devil. And he will have all these things waiting for you. Sexual immorality, idolatry, jealousy, fits of anger. And he'll be tempting you to all of them. Right? And if you leave Jesus behind, if you leave prayer behind, if you're not reading God's word, if you're not going to church, the devil is well aware and he's going to hit you like a big easy target. But if you don't drive away with Jesus, but walk away with him in faith, then you are able to resist the devil's temptations and you more and more enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. So we'll learn to truly love, which we don't learn if we don't have the Spirit. We'll learn to find joy in each and every step we take, to find peace in what God gives us every day, to be patient with others and with even God himself. To be kind to one another, to be good and see the goodness of God all around us, to be faithful, to be gentle, and to have self-control. And if you think about that, what a life that is that Jesus gives us. With Jesus, it's not a burger at a drive-thru. You know, it's not this quick, simple thing Jesus says, all right, be better and get out of here. It's an everyday walking with us. Rise and let's go. Your faith has made you well. And you walk every step by the Spirit of God in love and joy and patience and gentleness. And that's how we can see then our entire world and our entire lives through the eyes of faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.